Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, peeps! Oh, it feels so good to say that. Hello! I backed away from the microphone so I wouldn't freak you out. It's me. It's actually me. I'm back in studio. And I hope it's like riding a bike. What if I forgot how to do this? Actually, this wasn't even my longest time away from the microphone and the studio this year. So I think I'll be okay, especially since I didn't completely check out. And the last 2 days, it's been a lot of football and a bit of a reintegration to the workforce. So there's a lot to talk about. But first, let me say, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. I hope that you really enjoyed Hanukkah and the Festival of Lights. I can't believe it's the final few days of 2019. That is nutso, or cray, as the cool kids say. Actually, my nieces would tell me the cool kids don't say that at all. So Auntie Amy, don't ever say that is what they tell me. I still have the family invasion going on at my house. It's been the second wave of the family invasion on Sunday. So now there's more family than there was actually for Christmas week in my town, in my home, to celebrate the next few days. And New Year's. So that's awesome. There's still a lot of holidaying and celebrating and also taking time off. So I know around the holidays, people are out of their regular routines. So right now we'll have people listening who don't normally catch the show. We'll have new people who never even knew the show existed, which is awesome. So I do not mind working when a lot of people are out of their regular work routines. And maybe you're driving, maybe you're up late, maybe you're hanging out with friends, or maybe you're on a different work schedule and so you're catching us for the first time. If that's the case, let me introduce myself. I'm Amy Lawrence, and this is After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. All right, here's the deets. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I really enjoyed taking time away from social media over Christmas week. I'll just tell you right now, it was awesome to not even look at Twitter for 48 hours. But I did post a few pictures for Christmas, just of some things that my mom and I did. So if you want to check them out, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I also posted a handful of pictures on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I've got a few more to put up, but for now, I really enjoyed taking the time away. Definitely want to talk to you tonight. There's so much we want to chew over and digest from not just the end of the NFL season, but how about the college football playoff? On Saturday afternoon and evening, we had the doubleheader, and now we are left with a whole bunch of roaring tigers in the national championship. And that doesn't happen until January 13th. So we've got time to talk about the upcoming championship. It's certainly a wide range of emotions, crazy swings, and incredible championship heart and medal for LSU, as well as what we saw from Clemson. It's really difficult to knock out the defending champ. And so we'll do a lot of college football, even as we hurdle our way toward the national championship, but we definitely want to talk about some of the fallout from the semifinals on Saturday. Let's talk, though, first about the NFL and the playoff seeds and the playoff matchups. We finally have them. It's pretty amazing. I've used this line before. I believe it with all of my heart. The NFL is the best reality show on TV. And why do I say that right now in this moment? Because it required every last game of the regular season to determine the NFC's 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeds. They were all up in the air until the Seahawks came up inches short, maybe not even inches, millimeters short of the goal line against the Niners. Also, side note, really fitting that the Niners defense had the last laugh, the last statement, and slammed the door for the NFC West title. But it took every last game of the NFL season for the dominoes to drop and the playoff puzzle to be complete. That's why the NFL is the most popular spectator sport in this country, and that's why we have such a voracious appetite for it. In the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers, we knew were into their first playoff since 2013. They have not won a Super Bowl in 25 years, one of the NFL's most storied franchises, but it's been a quarter century since the Niners have tasted Super Bowl glory. They earn the one seed and home field throughout the playoffs. The Green Bay Packers have the two seed, also at 13-3, in Matt LaFleur's first season. Think about this. He's a rookie head coach, and I know there were a bunch of them this season. We had Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. We had Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. There are a bunch of guys who were tasting this combination coach and manager and media mouthpiece. There's a lot required to be an NFL head coach. Not everybody's cut out to do it. But for Matt LaFleur, you couldn't have asked for a whole lot more. His inaugural season as an NFL head coach, 13 wins, a division title, a bye in the first round of the playoffs. I think probably Kyle Shanahan is the odds-on favorite to win NFL Coach of the Year, but certainly LaFleur should get some votes. So the Packers have the two seed at 13-3, and they will get to host at least one postseason game, which I think is really cool. We'll have playoff football back at Lambeau Field for the first time in 3 years. The Saints also finished up 13-3, but they did not have a tie break with either the Niners or Green Bay. So what the Packers were rooting for was, of course, that the Seahawks would win, and so they could improve their seed. The Saints were rooting for the Seahawks as well, because if the Seahawks had won the NFC West, they would have had a bye. But it didn't work out that way. So Drew Brees, Sean Payton, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, this team that last year hosted the NFC Championship, now has to play this first weekend, wild card weekend, but will host the Minnesota Vikings. Remember that Minneapolis Miracle game that was in Minneapolis a couple seasons ago that stabbed a very sharp stick into the hearts of Saints fans. I don't have to remind you, I guess. So they didn't have the tie break, so they fall to the 3 seed. The Eagles are the 4 seed. We're going to talk about Philadelphia and the way that they battled their way into the postseason. They did this last year as well, and it wasn't Carson Wentz a year ago. It was Nick Foles. But think about the fact that they had such a revolving door at receiver. They've lost their top running back. Their entire secondary was injured at one point. And under Doug Peterson's leadership, you can never count this team out. They used all of their 9 lives, I'll tell you that. So the Eagles moved to 9-7 with 4 straight wins, and they earned the NFC East crown, their 3rd straight trip to the postseason, though they never do it the easy way, ever. The Seattle Seahawks fall to the 5 seed, and they actually wrap the season on back-to-back losses. So their loss a week ago is the one that really hurt them. You remember, because the Niners, they had kind of left that door open. Seattle could have gone roaring through it, but instead they drop a game to the Cardinals and then lose this game to the Niners at home. Now here's the positive for Seattle. They're 7-1 on the road this year. They're comfortable on the road. The Vikings, they also were locked in as the 6th seed, but they did drop their game on Sunday as well. So here are your NFC playoff matchups. We already know the times. We already know the dates. In fact, we even know how the divisional round will stack up in terms of when the ones and the twos will be in action. Coming up next Saturday, you will have the 2 AFC games. How about that? That doesn't normally happen. to get both conference games on the same day, wildcard weekend. But the NFC will play on Sunday. Tells you what the NFL thinks of the matchups in the NFC. They're getting showcased on Sunday. So the Vikings at the Saints is the early game. That's from the Superdome. It'll be 12 o'clock local time, 1 o'clock Eastern time. And then that's followed by the Seahawks at the Eagles. And so your doubleheader on Sunday is the NFC games. It's crazy, right? In the AFC, we have the Bills at the Texans early on Saturday afternoon. And then you have the Saturday evening game, Tennessee at New England. And therein is another big surprise from the final week of the NFL regular season. The Patriots lose to Miami again this season. They fall to the 3 seed, so they had every incentive to win this game against Miami. But Brian Flores knows the Patriots well. He came from their staff. He's another rookie head coach. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is the wrong quarterback to sign to run your football team if you want to get a higher draft pick. He's just not. He is so intense. He's so smart. I know he can be a disaster and he can make the most ill-advised throws, but he's also a guy that's always out there giving his team a chance to win. And I'm really impressed with the way that the Dolphins recovered from the early part of the season. Remember, they made all those trades. They compiled draft picks. I mean, they traded away some of the biggest names in their locker room. Brian Flores was willing to be the bad cop and face that team. Behind closed doors, he kept them together. And so they played the role of spoiler against the Patriots. And for the first time in a decade, New England has to play on the opening weekend of the postseason. It's weird, right? For the first time in 10 years, the Patriots don't have a bye. Instead, that goes to the Ravens and the Chiefs. Now, we knew the Ravens were locked in as the one, but they finished the season on a 12-game win streak. We got a lot of cool nerd alerts that we're going to drop in on you. It's kind of fun to think about who won the rushing title and who won the, you know, the passing crown and the weird and wacky records that were set this season. Chiefs win the 2 seed. They finish up the year on 6 straight wins. Beware of the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they're flying under the radar. Now, remember, a year ago, they lost to the Patriots at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship in overtime. Dee Ford will never forget, ever.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
The Texans are the 4 seed. They've won the AFC South 4 of the last 5 years. So this is a familiar position for them. The Bills dropped their last 2 games, though they didn't play a lot of their top flight guys on Sunday. But they're 10-6 for the first time since 1999. And the Titans, they take advantage of the opportunity. Remember, a week ago, it was the Steelers who had the chance to win and get in, and they flubbed it. They flubbed it all up. But the Titans knew that if they won on Sunday, they would grab the final playoff spot in the AFC. They did that, and Derrick Henry, 211 yards rushing. He also is your top rusher of the 2019 season. So we have a lot to get to. Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, Texans, Bills, Titans. That's your AFC hierarchy. In the NFC, Niners, Packers, Saints, Eagles, Seahawks, Vikings. I can't wait to talk to you. Here's our question as we kick off the final few days of 2019. You should see my face every time I say that. I just don't know what happened to this year. It went so fast. How would you describe this NFL season? The full season is now in the books. We move on to the tournament, so to speak. Bill Parcells used to call it the tournament. We're tournament ready, baby. How would you describe this NFL season? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I love these shows at the end of the year following the season because there's so many things we can talk about. Freddie Kitchens has already been fired by the Cleveland Browns. Doug Marrone in Jacksonville awaits his fate, as does Jason Garrett in Dallas. We'll let you hear from Jerry Jones. We don't know if there will be other teams that fire their coaches, but I suspect it won't be as many as what we had last year. We already have Carolina and Washington who are looking for coaches as well. Buckle up. January is one of the coolest times of the year if you're a football fan. But it's also a difficult time of the year when coaches, their staffs, and sometimes players lose jobs.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Fourth down. Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson back. Wilson throws. Caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line and dropped by Dre Greenlaw. He is short. 49ers come away with the ball. The 49ers have stopped Hollister on the goal line. The 49ers are going to win the game.
Nerve-wracking, anxiety. Just every game we've had lately has seemed like it's come down to the last play or two, and this was no different. So defense stepped up huge. That was incredible at the end there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is absolutely fitting that the end of the NFL regular season determines so much about the playoff picture in the NFC, but also that the Niners defense, which has been one of the stories of the 2019 campaign, had the last laugh. The Niners defense barely kept the Seahawks out of the end zone, and another come-from-behind drive engineered by Russell Wilson. But boy, did it look like it was going to end that way for the Seahawks for quite a while. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That last important call there on the Niners radio network with Greg Papa. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Coming up at the top of the next hour, so it'll be midnight Los Angeles time, midnight Pacific time, Cole Wright of NFL Network's Total Access will join us as the dust settles on week 17 of this NFL season. But let's talk Niners and Seahawks here for a second. We knew this was a game for the NFC West Championship. And also, I think just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, a bye. The team that lost this game was going to end up as a wild card despite having a really fantastic campaign. Seattle was actually scoreless in the first half. This was kind of crazy to me. At home, the team has not played as well as it had on the road. But I think this season, when you consider, especially these last couple weeks, when you consider the injuries to the running back core, about a month ago, the Seahawks lost Rashad Penny. Then they lost Chris Carson. They also ended up losing another running back. And so here they are trying to figure out what the heck to do in the backfield with Russell Wilson. They can't have Travis Homer carry the ball every single snap, every time they want to run it. So they bring back Marshawn Lynch, who hadn't played football in 441 days. But in the first half, they were held empty. Only had four opportunities. Seattle really struggled to keep the ball. And San Francisco was playing that ball control game. The Niners scored on all three of their drives and were up 13-0 at the break. And then it was a complete reversal in the second half. The two teams combined to score five consecutive touchdowns. So five drives resulting in touchdowns, including Marshawn Lynch going up and over the top on the goal line. And the Seahawks were right back in it. Their defense finally produces a stop, forces the Niners to go three and out in the final 3 minutes, and trailing 26-21, the Seahawks get the ball back with 2.5 minutes to go. They looked like they were locked in. DK Metcalf really a target for Russell Wilson in the second half. They pick up five first downs. They get inside the red zone. In fact, they convert on a fourth down at the one-yard line. They get the ball. First and goal. One-yard line. Oh, my gosh. They had done such a great job with clock management. They hustle up to the line. They'd use their final timeout, but they spiked the ball to stop the clock. So they're inside of 30 seconds. It might have been 33 seconds-ish to go. Roughly 30 seconds to go. And coming off of this possession or this down in which they spike the ball, they get a delay of game. just a brutal penalty. And we're talking about a veteran quarterback, a veteran head coach. They're trying to get Marshawn Lynch onto the field, and there was some confusion, and they end up getting a delay of game penalty that pushes them back 5 yards. Oh, talk about just the most frustrating penalty at the worst possible moment. Now, I'm with a lot of you. I believe there was pass interference on their next snap. It certainly looked like an obvious PI call. And in fact, on Sunday Night Football, the resident referee for NBC was really surprised that it wasn't a booth review, that from on high, there was no jingling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling of the phone saying, hey, let's stop and look that one over. But they didn't. And so the game continued. And then Jacob Hollister, well, there was a, I don't know if it was a miscommunication or DK Metcalf kind of ran into a guy and got picked off. Either way, they had a missed attempt in the left corner of the end zone. And then on fourth down, Hollister comes up just shy of the goal line. We're talking about millimeters. But the Niners prevailed. And it wasn't until the very end that Kyle Shanahan could ease that sigh of relief.
I wanted to wait till I saw on the scoreboard. I saw I didn't get in. Then everyone tried to tackle me, but I knew I was waiting to see how much time was left on the clock because I wanted to take a knee. We would have just taken the safety if there was only one sack, so there was no chance to fumble. But it was a little hectic there at the end, but once the whistle officially blew, I felt very good.
So once again, congratulations to the San Francisco 49ers. You remember they went to three straight NFC championships in, let's see, after the 11 season, the 12 season, the 13 season. That was a different era for the Seahawks-Niners rivalry, but I like this one okay. They split their season series. They each won on the other's field. The Niners are NFC West champs. Meanwhile, the Seattle Seahawks fall to their 12-4 mark, and I'm sorry. They're 11-5. They dropped their last two games. They're 11-5. They're kind of piecemeal and duct tape in the backfield now, though Russell Wilson played amazingly well in the second half, and we see what he can do when he has some room to operate. But this is difficult now because they have to go on the road for the first round of the postseason.
We had the opportunities. It was there in front of us. It was like a perfect win. It was, to me, it was a perfect way to win the championship. And unfortunately, it just came up short by a couple inches.
Yeah. He was so fiery, though, on the sidelines on Sunday night. So my brother and my niece are visiting me now, and my niece, Lauren, she's actually a student at Virginia Tech. She goes to football games, but she doesn't really know anything about the game. So it was fun. She was asking me questions. And I remember when I was that age, I didn't know a whole lot about it either. And so I'd be asking questions too. But she kept pointing to Pete Carroll. Man, that guy chews his gum so aggressively. I was like, yes, that's how he works out his tension and anxiety. So Pete Carroll was fired up. They were excited, of course, about Marshawn Lynch and his return. But ultimately, the Seahawks are the 5 seed in the NFC. We'll be on the road at the Eagles next Sunday afternoon. Second half of a doubleheader. Vikings at Saints before that. So the NFC games are on Sunday. AFC on Saturday. Bills at Texans is the first game of your playoffs, followed by the Titans at the Patriots. Again, we have a lot to get to, but I'm going to keep resetting these matchups for you. Freddie Kitchens fired by the Cleveland Browns an hour after their plane landed. Was when we got the news. So they lose in Cincinnati. Now remember, the Bengals already had locked up the 1 seed. But the Browns lose in Cincinnati. They get back to Cleveland. And Freddie Kitchens right away has a meeting with John Dorsey and the Haslams. And he is fired.
Whoopty hell.
Yeah. Do you remember his press conference when he got hired? When he got promoted from offensive coordinator to head coach, and he said, if you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter. Oh, gosh, what a year. 6 head coaches have been hired and fired, and that includes interim. Remember, Greg Williams was the interim head coach for the last half of last season. 6 different head coaches under the Haslam since 2012. And Cleveland is now seeking its 12th head coach since 1999.
Whoop-de-hell.
When the franchise was reborn. 855-212-4227. We'll take your calls coming up next. It's all fair game. Open season as we wrap the NFL's regular season and move into the tournament. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. How would you describe the 2019 NFL campaign?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jones fumbled the snap. Now he's under pressure. The ball is loose. Kicked on the ground. It's inside the 5. The Eagles pounce on it, and they've got it. At the 1-yard line, Fletcher Cox recovered it. Malcolm Jenkins punched it out. And the Giants, who are tied with the Eagles for the most fumbles lost this season, now have the lead.
Game is over. The game is over. The final score, the Eagles 34, the New York Giants 17. The Eagles have won the NFC East for the second time in 3 years, and they have eliminated the Dallas Cowboys.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Merrill Reese with the final call of the Eagles' regular season. And boy, if you think about their path to the playoffs the last 2 years, they had to win and win and win to get in last year when Carson Wentz was on the shelf with the back problems. That was Nick Foles engineering those wins. Of course, they went to Chicago and beat the Bears, the double doink game with Cody Parkey. Now here, Carson Wentz is the man, the only man. He manages to stay healthy the entire season, which is great. And boy, did he finish strong. Finished really strong. There was one moment in the Eagles' victory against the Giants on Sunday that was jaw-dropping. Cross-body and cross-field, he chucks a ball into the end zone, into a tight space for a touchdown. And what I thought of was the strongman competition. I mean, Carson Wentz has played really good football the last 5 weeks. And again, the Eagles had to keep winning to get into the playoffs. Now, it's their own fault, injuries as well, but it's their own problem that led them to this point. They used every one of their 9 lives. But as you hear with Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network, they did, in fact, slam the door, eliminate the Cowboys, and win the East Division. Before that, Bob Papa on the Giants radio network, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times for the Giants this season. Saquon Barkley, he rallies despite the injury early, ends up with another 1,000-yard campaign. Daniel Jones is certainly the quarterback of the future. He's learned a lot, still has to clean up the turnover issues. We don't know about Pat Shurmur, but the Giants, they had the rookie quarterback, of course, so he giveth and he taketh away. The end of the Eli Manning era. They were in a rebuild mode. The Eagles had their hands full shutting the door on the Giants Sunday. And the weather was, well, it was like it was in Baltimore for the Ravens and the Steelers. Pouring down rain, soaked to the bone type of a Sunday. So congratulations to the Eagles. And yes, the Cowboys are on the outside looking in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, I do believe that Fletcher Cox deserved the touchdown for the effort he gave to recover the fumble from Daniel Jones. Jones accidentally kicks it. So the ball is kind of bouncing around. It gets ripped out of his hands and it's bouncing around. And then he kicks it on accident. And Fletcher Cox just got up and went after it. Refused to give up on that ball, which I thought was pretty amazing for the veteran. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. 855-212-4227. Doug Peterson's Philadelphia Eagles are division winners again.
My message does not change. It's go about our business the way we've been going about our business, and it's a 1-0 mentality each week. You know, it's how we prepare during the week, and really staying humble through the whole thing, and understanding what got us here, how we got here, and what has transpired in the last couple of weeks, and we just got to continue to get better.
As for the Cowboys, they put up 47 points against the Redskins, but it was too little, too late. They had lost control of their own fate. And they had so many opportunities this season. Games that they look back on, no doubt, they're going to eat them up. As Dak Prescott said following Sunday's win, he's never quite felt like this before.
I don't know if I've ever been disappointed after a win, to be honest, but that was tonight. Unfortunate. Very disappointing. I think that's the best word for it. Best description for the locker room.
We challenged everybody last night to stand tall. You stand tall through success. You stand tall through adversity. And our guys did that. So proud to be a part of this football team.
Jason Garrett, proud of his guys to the end. But is the end of this season also the end of his decade-long tenure with the Cowboys? I know. You want to hear from Jerry Jones. He's cryptic as usual.
I mean, I have anything, but I don't have a shareable time. The proper question here is a shareable. Do I have anything that I would share as far as my timetable, my thoughts, any work that I've done, we've done, any work preparing for the future, all of that I wouldn't comment on and share at this time.
Out of respect to Garrett, would you kind of make a quick decision just so he won't be twisting to a certain extent?
Again, I'm not going to comment on anything to do with anything to do about those kinds of decisions. I really know that that's the order of things and what we want to hear and talk about if I've got anything to say substance tonight other than my disappointment about not being in the playoffs. But I'm not going to get into that out of respect for everybody, players, and really fans as well.
So Jerry Jones says multiple times, and this has been a theme for him lately, how disappointed he is, but he doesn't share any information. He didn't say he didn't have the decision already made. He didn't say he didn't know what he was going to do. What he said was, it's not shareable. The information that I have or I don't have, the decision that I've made or I haven't made, it's not shareable. Jason Garrett is not under contract for next season, so he doesn't actually have to fire him. He could just not bring him back, not offer him a new contract. The Cowboys, of course, could have made the playoffs again. It would have been their fourth trip to the postseason in 6 years, but they fall back to 8-8, which is his fourth 8-8 finish in the years that he's been the head coach of the Cowboys. Dak Prescott still doesn't have a contract for next season. In fact, this is a really interesting number. We'll call this the first nerd alert of the show. The Cowboys could have as many as 26 players hit unrestricted free agency. There are guys that might end up with contracts before they get to that point, like Amari Cooper, like Dak Prescott. We don't know about Jason Witten. He says he's going to take some time and decide if he wants to play again. Randall Cobb. I mean, there could be a lot of turnover, but the decision has to be made about the coaching staff.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
Not in this case. You are what your record says you are, baby. Let's talk to Red, who's in Georgia. Red, happy new year. Welcome to After Hours. Red. Okay. It's way too early to be falling asleep. We're going to add him to our stable. We have a stable of barnyard animals. Of people who've fallen asleep on the show. He hasn't even been on the phone that long, for heaven's sakes. It must have been a tough weekend for Red. Do you think that'll be the last time we have someone fall asleep on us in 2019?
Ooh, 2019, the caveat there at the end, probably.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's talk to Steve, who's in San Francisco. Hey, welcome to After Hours.
Amy.
Yes.
Is this Amy?
The only girl in the building, man.
What's happening? I have to follow that, Amy? Are you kidding me?
You do. I've set the bar really low.
I listen to you, Amy, over the past when I'm coming home from Lake Tahoe, but I'm in San Francisco right now. And you know something? That was a pretty powerful performance by those 49ers. You disagree with that, but, I mean, really? This is really a streamlined team that can make it all the way.
Did I disagree with that?
Agree?
I didn't disagree that the Niners made a powerful statement.
Oh, it was beautiful.
NFC West champions, the top seed. That certainly is beautiful, for
right?
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you take the precision passing between four and five players. Jimmy G, he throws it right in the middle of the field, right down the line. What? I mean, come on. This is it right here. We have it all.
Well, the regular season is only part of the equation, man. They got to carry it forward.
Well, no. Well, we've had the most exciting season, and you know what I love to? I love listening, like I said, over the past. I listen to all the Super Bowl, everything. You know what I mean? It's such a pleasure to just speak with you. And, you know, I love it. I love the whole, I listen to you at my bedside.
Okay. Well, I hope that you don't fall asleep like Red. Actually, Red needs his sleep, so it's fine.
I have so much more to say, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
And I love the show.
Okay. Awesome, Steve. Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for your phone call. Okay. So the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC, this got Steve really happy. It goes through San Francisco for the first time since 97. The Niners haven't won a division title since 2012. So it may feel like the Niners have been around, but they went through a really down stretch there. After the firing of Jim Harbaugh, remember he and Trent Baalke, they clashed. They butted heads, and Baalke was higher up the food chain. So Harbaugh gets bounced. They hire Jim Tomsula. They promote Jim Tomsula. Actually, it was a little bit like the Freddie Kitchens situation. They promote him from within. He had no head coaching experience. He was essentially the sacrificial lamb. Then they went through the Chip Kelly era. How long was the Chip Kelly era? One season? Same thing. And then they bring in Kyle Shanahan following Shanahan, well, his last row with the Atlanta Falcons, of course, ended in the Super Bowl and that devastating loss in overtime to the Patriots. But Shanahan then has gone through a cycle of quarterbacks trying to find the right guy. They bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. They wait him out while he goes through the resurrection of the ACL. And now look where they are. It took him a while, but a championship defense, a quarterback who gets better by the week, 13-3, the top seed, the NFC West title. Cole Wright of NFL Network will join us next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.